Blog Talk Radio.
This is Jane Hoffman. Tonight's episode is at our not usual time. We're going to be talking about spiritual entities that affect our everyday lives, things that drag us into darkness, and things that we are able to conquer and must try. I am going to play one of John's songs as soon as I get logged in. One moment, please. So tonight's topic has to do, I believe that in civil matters in the Duluth courts, a lot of the district court judges, they don't research the cases that they have. And I'm going to play one of John's songs. We have one host on the line, but this is a religious show. So you can decide now if you're going to come in and if it's relevant to your life. And then we will discuss the local case. And then I will have John will be coming in soon, and Doc will be coming in after the morning.
Whenever I will call, we humbly bow before you. We love to praise and adore you. We humbly bow before the throne. We give you all the glory. Salvation is our story. We humbly bow before the myself to you, protected by your hand. My dreams and schemes and all I have is surrendered to your plan. I know that I'm inadequate, I stumble and I fall. Still you always pick me up whenever I will call. We humbly bow before you. We love to praise and adore you. We humbly bow before the throne. We give you all the glory. Salvation is our story. We humbly bow before the throne. And I need you by my side. Forgive me for my pride.
On the line and another caller. I'm going to be reading some Bible verses to set the tone. Tonight's topic, there's at least two major topics. Suffering produces character. Tonight we will talk about our struggles in the world and how it translates to either overcoming or being buried by the darkness of people who don't follow the light. Jane will also discuss a recent court case she pursued by a dishonorable employer in Duluth. So I'm going to start out with the framework and foundation of my religious faith and what tools we can use to battle that we have Wade on the line, and another caller dropped because he's not religious. I'll go into that later. John should be calling in any minute. But grow in faith and knowledge and grace of our Lord Jesus, Savior Jesus Christ. To him be both glory now and forever. 2 Peter 3:18. If my people who are called by my name shall humble themselves and pray, I will forgive their sins and heal their land. 2 Timothy 3:16. All scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness. One more. Hebrews 4:12. For the word of God is active and alive, sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates even to dividing soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It judges the thoughts and attitudes of the heart. And then I had a few more Old Testament ones that I might read later. So recently, and Wade, I'll bring you in a, less than a minute, I decided I was working for a company from January 6, 2023 to October 16, 2023. I stayed there a brief period. It was kind of like an office and medical issuance job. I worked in the main office as a technician in a treatment center, and I had to issue meds and track people's coming and going, as well as if they were committing crimes on the property, because they were in rehab, and a lot of them had just come out of a state correctional facility or a regional correctional facility. And over the course of about 9 to 10 months, they fired 4 people. They fired one girl for making a sexual joke in front of clients. They fired another technician for borrowing money from a client and a vehicle. They fired a counselor for fraternizing with the clients and I guess maybe giving that person a ride home from work. Either way, we were always left shorthanded. So my last week there, I worked 4 till midnight. We had a young 19-year-old who rarely made it to work on time, and he had just started. And I asked him where the rounds papers were, and he started cussing me out and swearing at me at midnight. And I told the lady the next day, my intermediate boss, that I had already given my 2 weeks' notice then, but I told her that I would take one of my sick days. I had like 20 hours. Yes, Pianke, you can talk, just so you know. I saw you just call back in, but I'm trying to finish a story. Anyways, so I told my immediate boss, my last day was October 25th, I would like to take one sick day before I departed out of the organization. And he said, you can't take it because the night before I had asked for a 50-cent to a dollar raise because the wages were so low. It was $13.50 an hour, and I was watching sex offenders at night, and I was in charge of like 15 criminals, and I thought the pay was crappy, and I said, I will stay on one day a week if you give me like a dollar raise. Well, then this guy came and harassed me that night at midnight, and he was a brand new employee, and I reported it, and I wanted one sick day, and then they told me the following day, because I asked for a raise, it's okay, you can resign halfway through your two-week notice, but you can't take any of your sick days because it's really only for when you're sick and full time. Well, I had over 23 hours and I wanted it, and this guy named Carl Crawford at the Duluth Human Rights Office, who I consulted later, said that they should have paid me for my full 2 weeks plus the sick days. Well, I took him to court and I lost because the state of Minnesota didn't finish their investigation before I prompted a civil court trial. And I'm just using this as one example. It's like when real life people get you down and you can't really solve it, because I would have had to hire an attorney to win the case. But the whole place is corrupt. It's not run well. I went to the director and he couldn't provide me a concrete answer. He just talked about himself for an hour. And it wasn't even that great of a job, but still it doesn't sit well when it doesn't end well. So tonight I'm translating this topic of wood, hay, and stubble, which is a imagery from the Bible. It talks about people who produce wood, hay, and stubble, and they don't produce authentic progress in the kingdom of heaven. And then they backslide into their old ways and how to stay strong in adversity. So I'm just going to see what Wade has to say about it, and then I'll pull Pianchi in. And John just called in too, luckily, so we have four callers total. Hi, Wade. How's it going?
Hey, I'm doing good. Yeah, I don't have a lot of comment about that topic. I don't know. I was just thinking about our other subjects and getting ready to talk. But, yeah, I thought a lot could be said about Don's – yeah, about the school choice, also Don's black supremacy stuff. There's a lot.
You can talk about that. It's just that – I worked 25 out of the last 35 hours, and I was just talking. Like, I notice a lot when I'm listening to public radio, NPR, and Christian radio, like, everybody's talking about their daily struggles and how they interpret and perceive things, and even the presidential race. Like, over 30% of the elected, they don't even want Biden or Trump, but they can't interpret what they're supposed to do, so they just kind of go with the flow. So I was just talking about how spiritual trials can affect us, and even if I heard on Christian radio that even if we're not victorious in our trials, that place of suffering is put there so we could draw closer to God. So in other words, you're not always going to get what you want as a believer, but you're going to be guaranteed growth. So with that, I'll pull in the other.
Sure.
Go ahead, Wade, and then I'll pull in the other two callers. Do you have any comments?
And I was talking with family about the whole, you know, like my parents don't like either one, and I was talking about that with them. It's like, yeah, that's reality. You have to choose. If you don't like either one, you know, you're still — the smart thing to do is still pick the lesser of two evils. It's like you're not doing any good by just not voting. If you're trapped and someone's going to, you know, like, what is it, the old cut off your head or your hand, you better say hand or you're going to lose your head, right? Like, you know, you have to take a lesser of two evils.
Yeah, and so, like, before I bring John and Pianchi in, I started taking Social Security early at 62, even though I work a lot and I'm going to be punished, but at least no one can take it away from me because I already started it. So no matter what radical, like if Nikki Haley's tight with the money, that's something she might suggest. She wanted to move Social Security to age 67 or something. So at least I don't have to worry about that. But let's pull in the other callers. I appreciate people calling in at an odd time. Hi, Pianchi. How are you doing?
You say they owe you 16 hours.
They owe me. No, they owe me. You mean my old job? They owe me 30 times 8. Whatever that is.
So, they owe you 240 hours?
No, they owe me 24 hours plus 23 hours sick time.
Oh.
See, Minnesota has a new policy, and Duluth started it before the rest of the state. Every employer in the state over, like, 100 employees has to pay their clients or staff earned, safe, and sick time. It's called ESST. But the thing is I never missed a day of work in a year. And then the next day when I wanted to take it in the middle of my 2 weeks' notice, they wouldn't let me.
That sounds like
so I took a – well, no matter what it is, they had a 19-year-old who he spouted off to me and he swore and he insulted me. And I felt like the local judge who was recently appointed to the district court, he didn't read any of my court submissions in the digital access. Each side puts in the digital access what they want to present to the court. I don't think he read any of that before he made his decision.
Yeah,
but don't worry,
you know,
I already...
You should go to... call Don up. He'll take care of it.
Well, what I'm going to do is I have to hire a lawyer now for my appeal, because I'm not doing it because I want the money. I'm doing it to expose how crappy management they are.
Well,
so
you
like,
say
they
owe you
hired,
money. You say
yeah.
they owe you 24 hours plus 23 hours. Well, was that your raise, you said, $1.50 or what?
I asked them, okay, the night before I resigned, and John, you're on the air, but you'll have to wait a sec. The night before I resigned, they have all these flunkies working there on overnights, like no education, no background. They give them a dollar more because of the overnight differential. But they also tried to hire my friend for a dollar more. And the reason I took the job to start out with, it was only a mile from my house. And the guy named Rodney was desperate for workers because they were short-staffed. So I stayed there almost a whole year just to help out. But then I got a $20 an hour job, which is $7 more an hour. So I put in my two-week notice. But then they did me wrong. And the 19-year-old harassed me, and I took three videos of him the night he harassed me, which was during my 2 weeks' notice, and they didn't pay attention to any of that stuff. They just said that you don't qualify for earned safe and sick time because you didn't ask for it while you were employed. But then they told me I could leave a week early, and I didn't want to. I wanted to finish out my 2 weeks, but they wouldn't let me because the guy harassed me, and they didn't want to deal with that conflict.
Well,
I know, but in order to sue them, you need a lawyer. And every time I call the state of Minnesota, you know, like for if they discriminated me by my age or my education or something, I couldn't get through. I worked two jobs and I couldn't get through to the state. And then I emailed them once.
One, go to the NAACP or go. You got a law school there in your town. Go and maybe one of the law students might take it up as an assignment.
Well, thanks for being supportive. And I wanted to say before the show gets really underway that, yes, I have a rough schedule, and, yes, I can't help it. So I really technically I do have 2 days off a week, and I'm able to John's calling in under two different numbers. I have two evenings off a week, but this week I decided to work extra because I owe some money to the IRS. So who would like to go next? John, would you like to introduce yourself? And you missed the intro.
Oh, yes, I'm just hearing it in stereo, so I'm getting a double effect. Like the show is twice as effective this way.
You're probably going to have a booming sound out of one of your phones then? Because if your phones
are too close together? No, I placed them far apart and turned the volume down. But actually, I turned off one just because I was on the phone talking to a friend that was rambling on. And, you know, that's what friends do.
I already know who one of the two people could be. So I started off the show on the spiritual struggles people have on a daily basis, but Wade has half hour, well, about 25 minutes before Don calls in, and he wants to address Don's black supremacy statements, and he also wants to talk about school choice.
Yeah. There you go.
And I listened to just a brief thing about South Carolina, and over 50% of people between 18 and 25 are undecided about who they want to vote for. So
go ahead,
John, enter in what you do on, should we let Wade start, John, since he has something specific?
Yeah, let's go with Wade. That'd be awesome.
Sure. All right, thanks.
Okay,
yeah,
Wade,
well,
you can start.
I liked what Pianke was saying, and I was glad that he was on the show. But, you know, generally, like, okay, I'm sure if you take any two groups of people in society and you take a specific topic and you compare the two groups, you're going to find a difference, right? You're never, you know, things never end up, everybody is the same in everything, right? So if you group people by race or gender, you're going to find, like, this group does better, you know, performs better with this. This group performs better with this. But I just don't, you know, I don't think it helps us to talk about, you know, try to make a push like, you know, we think our people are, our group is superior. You know, that's tribalist. I saw a lot of that when I was in California. And it's like, you know, that's just very frustrated people. And I don't, you know, I don't do that. I argue against people that are very tribalist, but I don't try to make anything that I am superior to other people. And it's like, you know, why divide us? You know, every group has its amazing people and its not very great people. Every classroom, you know, I've spent years substituting, and it's like, you know, every group I've had every kind of demographic in a classroom. I've had every racial group dominate at some point or another in the classroom I'm in. And I could say, like, oh, these kids do better than these kids, whatever. Like, no, every group has the kids that are really trying to learn and the kids not trying to learn. So I don't know. And Don is so desperate to convince us of his superior. I mean, I've heard him not only saying awful things about white people, but he doesn't seem to have much good to say about Asians either. So I guess it's not.
Well,
just,
I think part of it
wide.
Is from a distinctive level. I lived in California 17 years. I think the Latinos, the ones who had been living there a long time and were established, they criticized the new Mexican immigrants coming in. Like, some of them did think they were better than the others. Because I worked right in Pacoima and San Fernando.
Sure.
Well,
there's always
I'm not saying that's bad. It's just
them.
It's their experience. It's their experience.
Yeah, and then
sure. And then
have,
the whole woke. I'm
going to
let Pianke and John go. I'm not a person of color, but I do think the whole thing Ron DeSantis was trying to achieve with the anti-woke movement is just, he just wanted to keep things mainstreamed and performance-based, but he didn't want to deal with all the the backlash, leftover feelings, and the feelings of being cheated that, you know, and now that it's more in the forefront and more things are being found out. So, like, I think institutionally, some people don't identify with American institutions, so now they have the voice to complain about it. So that's all I'm going to say. I'm going to let another host go.
Okay.
Go ahead, John or Pianke.
You want to go, Pianke?
Well, you said that your family didn't want to. It's not the question of who they are going to vote for or who they like. The question is, what is it they want to see? That's
yeah,
what the question
that's what I'm trying to explain.
Yeah, that's what the question people should be explaining. What is it that you would like to see, and what have you told your politician that you want them to do? See, people too oftentimes sit back and wait and see what's going to happen. Like, surprise, surprise. No, you're supposed to give directives to your public servants. That's what they are. They're public servants. You're supposed to give them directions and see if they enthusiastically work accordingly to your directions. If they don't, well, then you should consider getting rid of them. Now, the president is a whole different story at the president level. But anyway, go ahead.
Well, Pianke,
yeah.
What Wade's trying to get at, though, is Don is trying to speak for the whole black race, that they're superior in everything, so we might as well throw in the towel. But I did hear today on public radio about the South Carolinian race that neither Harris or Biden have outlined what they're really trying to do for the people, because they're kind of lazy, because they have no major competitor in their party. So I think people are reactionary, because 1 week you missed 3 weeks ago, Pianke, when we did a documentary viewing of Fall of Minneapolis, and it showed how the Minneapolis cops followed procedure, and that Chauvin was not leaning on his neck but his shoulder blade, but it was just the ankle, and how George Floyd said, "I can't breathe," about 35 times, even before it got to that crucial footage. So, and plus he kept trying to wiggle his way. He wouldn't get out of his own car, and he wouldn't get in the police car. And he's the one, it was his fault that he fell on the ground because he wasn't cooperating. So I'm not saying he deserved to die, but it just kind of showed on how the perspective was different from the police point of view. And then how Mayor Fry let the precinct burn because he just thought it was just a symbol that the police should submit. So, so Wade, why don't you just try to clarify your point of view more about what Don said?
Sure, yeah. Well, I think any group, any race that you choose, you can say like, oh, look, there. You can base your argument on the aspects that they're superior at and say, look how superior we are. You know, I could make an argument for any, pick a race, and I could be like, oh, look at, they can do this and this and this. They're so superior. You know, but what Don tends to do too is he likes to have his arguments both ways. So he picked something where if it's a point where black people seem to be underperforming, his argument is, oh, well, that's because of discrimination. But then when it's like where they're overperforming, overperforming is not the right word, when they're exceeding, he says, look how superior we are. And, you know, that's not good logical. That's like starting with a presumption and then going from there. I just think it's pointless to try to compare races. And you know what? It's I don't see how it helps minorities. Like, you know, I side with DeSantis and his stand against woke. If someone can explain to me how it helps minorities to be telling them they're victims all the time and that white people are out to get them. And, you know, like, that's not, how is that helping? If you want to help people, help people. You know, don't propagate stereotypes. Stereotypes don't help people.
I'm an academician person too, and I work in a room where 7 fourth graders have major learning disabilities, and it really doesn't have, it might have maybe 20% to do with their race and maybe 50% of their parental upbringing. But some kids just don't want to work. But then there's some kids that are really smart, but they have so many behaviors. We spend 35% of the day correcting their behaviors and sending them back in the hallway. So I think on subjects like science and math, you can keep it pretty mainstream and cool. But I think black people do want to have a stronger voice in social studies and want to be more represented in history. That's just,
yeah.
There's
I'm
a
not
big
arguing about
chunk that.
That
feels, there's a big chunk that feels like they've been left out. Now, I don't know if that's going to change, but it also has to do with their level, like what part of the country they live in, what kind of people are they around. Because I remember in the 80s when I went to an all-black college, some of the elite black students kind of distance themselves from their own race. So it just really depends on the person. And you're right, you can't chunk it all into one category.
There's nuance.
Someone else can go. Mm-hmm. So, John, why don't you talk? Because I have to rewrite the show now.
Okay. From what I understand of history, there was a point where the world was one, and they had a common purpose, and they wanted to build a tower to reach to heaven and make a name for themselves. And at that point, the Bible says that God confounded language and divided everyone because their purpose wasn't to follow him, to follow themselves. Every man did as what was good in his own eyes. Basically, the Old Testament ends. So some people believe this, some people don't. In prison, they love division as a construct because if you have all the prisoners get together, say you got 1,000 prisoners in there and they band together, they go, oh, let's make a break. Let's work together. Let's do this or let's do that. It's pretty hard to stop them. And that's what happens when a prison shuts down. If you divide them, blacks versus whites versus Asians versus, Hispanics, now their power is broken. It's like it's just chaos. They start killing each other. They start cannibalizing. That's what we have in society. Just the elite want their little bunkers. Zuckerberg's working on it. I was talking to someone today. Jeff Bezos was up on top of Bel Air. And how do I know? Because they have a couple friends who are squatting in a mansion, and Bezos is down the street from them. And the locals, all the celebrities, all the mega buck people, they don't want them there. It's like this, they're bringing down our we want our little world here on top of the world, and we want everyone else to be poor and recycle and walk and carpool and things like that. But we're going to jet settle across the world. And they realize if things start going really bad, like in France, let them eat cake, the common people will unite, revolt, and kill them. That's what happened with the communists in Russia, China, right? You get the peasants up against the rich, and you cannibalize it. Like, nationalize your bank, nationalize the properties, the buildings. But in the end, it's still the elite manipulating these radicals to go and overthrow the government, and then they shoot the radicals, and now a different group of elite. People that were poor before become the elite. Putin has billions of dollars. I don't know, 2 or 3 billion at least. He goes and stays wherever he wants because it's all his. If he wants, some property, he gets it. And he just sets the rules. And the bank or the whoever will make it happen. The state will make it happen. So the problem, like America, we're just being divided and cannibalized. And now my belief is biblically that there is one God, and he gave us the Ten Commandments, a set of order to comply with. And until we bow to that or comply to that, we will always kill each other. I mean, the commandments are don't kill your brother. Don't steal. Don't lie. Don't cheat on your wife, right? Love your neighbor as yourself. And then worship this one God. Now, of course, other people take it to the extreme. Well, you don't follow our God, we'll kill you. And say, okay, wait a second. If I don't follow your God, you're going to kill me in the name of your God. And Jesus came to undo that. Like no. I give you a higher law. You lay down your life for your brother kind of law. So it's an interesting dynamic. From what I understand scripturally, biblically speaking, it will never have peace, will never have the true love until God rules. He'll have to take it by force. And that's what the scriptures say. Christ will return with his army, and every knee will bow, every tongue confess Jesus is Lord. Now, is that a fairy tale? I don't think so. But there is others, I'm sure Bianchi would say, that's a fairy tale meant to, construct to imprison us all and conform. Maybe he's right. We're going to see. Because this time, instead of, in the past, the problem is if you walk away from that, you'll end up with, whether it's Babylon or Assyria or Egypt or Rome or any dark ages, you get a king, a pharaoh, a ruler, a dictator, Hitler, right? Kim Jong-un. These people rule. You bow or you die. And that's what happens. So to me, Jesus is Lord, and he's the Lord of love, but he will rule in power when he returns. And a lot of people don't believe that. Well, we're going to see the Antichrist come up, and you'll get to choose. Follow him, comply with the digital New World Order, or die. And it's I went to Mexico just, a week ago with a friend. He's doing some extreme cancer treatment, and there's this feeling as you're coming back to the border. I had an expired visa, but they said it's okay. I had my driver's license. And on the way back, we went with a shuttle from the hotel. There's a Hotel Comfort Inn, and there's a couple others that shuttle people across to TJ to, like, the Hoxie Clinic, biomedical clinic. And there's this feeling, you know, you're in line there at the border, and there's the guy with the dog, you know, the drug-sniffing dog. There's, you know, two or three guys coming. They got their guns, you know, their sidearms. They're walking up to you, and you know, the driver's saying, remember, don't tell them extra stuff. Don't, you know, keep it simple. I'm just here to get my natural supplements at the clinic. I'm visiting the clinic. That's it. Said, don't elaborate. Don't go into stuff because they'll pull you out. And, you know, it's just feeling like, don't say the wrong word. You know, what are you here for? Oh, cancer clinic. Wrong. No. I'm just, natural supplements. Don't say drugs or this or that. You know, just they'll pull you out. And we saw two families pulled out, complete families. You know, they were here trying to get across illegally, or they didn't have their stuff, and they're walking away. The point is, government is sometimes going to say, "Do you have the mark? Do you have that chip?" You know, Neuralink. Elon Musk, he's parading it this week. Brain chip in a human now. Look at all the good we can do for humanity, you know. I'm sure they'll have some guy in a wheelchair probably move his arm or something, right? They'll go, you need this. It's like, no, I don't need a chip in my brain like a monkey. So that's my viewpoint.
So it's pretty lame that you didn't update your passport. I'm surprised they allowed that.
Well, yeah, no, because the deal was, this was just something like, you know, a couple of weeks ago. He said, hey, will you go with me to Mexico? Oh, you know, to the border, you know, and then we'll shuttle across. I said, do you need an updated, you know, visa, passport? And he called the hotel in advance. They said, no, because they're with the shuttle. They know the people going in and out to the clinic. They do it all the time. And I'm sure, I didn't see it, but I'm sure there probably is a money deal in advance. You know, hey, here's our people. Here's our driver. Like, he was transporting across on medical pass. So they know it's okay. He gets special priority. Like everyone else, you know, you wait 2 hours, right? I mean, it's a long line. He just goes in a special line. We shoot up there, and we wait like 10 minutes, and we go through there. And you've got these gamma machines. There's these big, super tall poles. Like, almost like little mini towers, and you drive between them, and it's you know, scanning it. They've got all these cameras and gadgets pointing, and you know, trying to detect heat, you know, human bodies being smuggled, drugs, contraband, weapons. It starts to get a little intense, but yeah, they knew I was with them, and the fact that my visa or passport matched my current California driver's license. It was cool. But if I went by myself, they probably would pull me out. But I'm going to get mine updated so I can do my 777 world tour.
I have a driver's license that allows me in Mexico and Canada. It's an enhanced ID.
Oh, boy.
So, I feel like I'm not saying you got off topic, but I understood your point about having a special identity to get in certain places. So,
You won't be able to travel. You know, the scripture says you can't travel. He will change signs and seasons. He's going to realign the calendar. They already started to do that, right? Like, instead of AD in the year of our Lord, it's before Common Era and Common Era or something like that. Because they want to disavow Christ.
It's BCE and ACE.
Yeah,
so
they want to disavow Christ and become secular. Huh?
They already changed Minnesota. Our average temp has been 30 all winter, and it's usually between 0 and 10. And the season's already changed up here, and it's from El Nino. So, Wade, one thing I was going to tell you, the way people congregate in high schools and colleges and a lot of people are into, like, dark sexual music and stuff. Like, I saw a video of Rihanna dancing, and her vajayjay was practically on the floor of the stage, and all these hands were coming out of the stage like real human hands and trying to grab her coochie. And there's a lot of people like living in darkness, like they're all in pursuit of their whatever they can get from the world, like their sexual foulness or their way to how good they look on a fashion runway or what kind of things they can sell on Amazon to get rich. So there's nothing wrong with the Amazon thing, but if people have dark intents, it's kind of hard to bring the world together.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Well, I mean, the world's not going to be together till Christ comes, or yeah. But
there's another component to that too. Wait, and that is what we're having. What did Jesus say before he returns? He said, there'll be many false Christs. They'll be out in the desert. They'll be here, like, go to Sedona, go to the Middle East to have all these the Christ seminars. And like we're all connected. We're all the consciousness. Like, it doesn't matter who you are, we're all part of the Christ. Even my poop, you know, that's part of Christ right there, you know, because we're all connected. It's all energy. They're trying to get into this commonality. And the point is, someone posted a thing about Taylor Swift, and they said, she loves Jesus. Why are they bagging on her for the Super Bowl? You know, here's a girl in love with her man. Just leave her alone. Why is the big deal? And I said, I'll tell you the big deal. Because she's not just a gal going to a game supporting it. She's using her mass celebrity to promote on a world platform who to vote for, what to be sexually. She got her rainbow outfits, and she's lobbying very heavy, like we need, and putting on there, this is a safe environment for your sexuality, for the community. I have to protect you. I have to fight these evil people who are trying to harm you. And, yeah, that's one side of it. But the other side is those same people want to trans your kid and take them away from the parents. There's a soldier, actually. He's in the SEALs.
I think she looks at gay people as someone who's being denied dinner in a restaurant. She doesn't really understand the whole complexity of it because her song, Calm Down, they show people with Bible protest signs. And she was mocking the Old Testament, and she doesn't understand the religious impact of it.
Well, here's the deal. What makes me stand out on this is because if you see her movie We or Me, it starts with a snake slithering around, and it comes sliding straight up, and it mouth opens up like it's devouring you, and then boom, it goes to video. And in it, she starts talking about, it's a guy and a gal, and he's talking about, you know, I'm just me, I'm special, and, you know, it's the rainbow of whatever. And then she's dancing, looks very emasculated, not a dress, but looks kind of like Annie Lennox or the gal that did, she did Gone with the Sound of Music. She was the star lead, the singer, actress.
Julie Andrews?
Julie Andrews, right, and like Victor Victoria, she's that movie about, you know, switching dual identity. Anyway, she's dressed basically like that, dressing and dancing with all these people in rainbow. Like, she's got a yellow outfit, like a male look like outfit, and then everyone's got, you know, pink and blue, the whole rainbow spectrum kind of thing. Point is. She's not just like on the side, like everyone, all my Swifties, you know, let's align against the evil, you know, orange man. Orange is, I guess, a color not in a rainbow. And they're going right after that strong, like, vote for Joe Biden, vote for trans, vote for gay, vote for abortion, like, kill those babies in your stomach. And it's not just a maybe, it's like this is militant. And only that, on stage, she has a 20-foot inflatable cobra head with the fangs sticking out in the tongue, so, you know, and this is like all over the place. She has snake imagery on all half of her videos. She's got them on tattoos. She's got outfits with snakes all over it. There's snakes crawling here and there. And she says, it's just because of Kanye. You know, he called me a snake, so I'm ha-ha Kanye. Point is, she's promoting Lucifer, the serpent, Luciferianism, and in all ways, the agenda of these globalists. She's their puppet, and she's the number one. She's the person of the year. She's the, you know, she's going to go on these award shows and, you know, sweep all the awards and be the, you know, top. She's had 10 singles came out. They're all number one. Beat the Beatles, beat Elvis. Do you really think Taylor Swift is that good? It's an agenda.
But why can't people go to the game? Why do people go to the game? They should stay home. Boycott it. Don't go. And if some person is coming back to take people away, well, come back, take them away, and leave everybody else alone. Like in the Bond movie, Live and Let Die.
Mm-hmm. Well, that would be
sure.
Cool. They're promoting an agenda that controls you and me and your children. They're not just being quiet and doing their thing.
Well,
they're like let's.
Well, there ain't no agenda controlling me and my children. But what I'm saying is that people got a right to do what they have. First Amendment right. My Bible is the U.S. Constitution and the Bill of Rights. They got a right to portray whatever way they want to. But what I'm saying is that people complain about this. Well, don't go to the game. Why are you supporting the NFL? Don't go to the game. Call up their sponsors and tell them of your disapproval.
Yeah.
Do you
well,
think
you
it's
know
fake?
Why, though? People are sheep, right? So you heard them. And when you're talking about, well, you do whatever you want, that's cool. In what, Missouri or wherever you're at, come to California. Watch the lockdown. Wait until, like, next time. Like, I went to the gym for, like, a year. I couldn't go in because I didn't have a vax card. And I walked up, they're like, hey, I'm paying my membership, and I've been going here, blah, blah, blah. Like, you don't have a vax card. You can't enter. This is going to –
You pay a subscription?
For the next one. Huh?
You pay a subscription?
$21 a month, and I kept it because I knew after it passed.
Why you pay them the money then?
Because when I – because the people who dropped like that – like
they
did. No, they came back. They came back, and now they're paying $40 to $60 a month. I'm still paying $21. So in the first year, I recouped, and now every year, you know, I make up $200 on the deal because it's $42 to join anywhere else. So, but that just worked. That happened to work out for me. The next time, they're going to lock down banks, grocery stores, travel. You know, all the beast will the false prophet and the image of the beast will cause all to buy or sell unless they have that mark
people,
on their hand or forehead.
Can open
and that's
up
what
their
they're
own,
doing.
People can open up their own grocery stores and let whoever
really?
You want to in it.
In Minnesota, you're gonna in the snow. You're gonna have your own farm supply. They're gonna shut down the food supply. You know that. That's what they do in North Korea, right? Do that in North Korea. Do that in China. Do that in Russia. You can't. You could. You know, it's we're getting the noose around our neck right now, and they're gonna snap it tight. But they can't do it right now. You know, like people like you are resistant. But a couple more notches and the ropes around your neck. You know, it's already around our. You know, up to our chest. We don't even know it. Churches don't even know it. Right.
I don't
we think we're free and independent. We're free and independent till, until they lock your bank account.
But right now, I have several relatives have over $400,000 in the bank. I wouldn't let – if I had that much, I'd keep $100,000 under my pillow. But what I was going to say is right now I don't feel threatened at all, no matter who bitches about what. I can shop and eat however much I want. My rent is relatively low. I have two jobs, and the only thing threatening me is the IRS.
Well, but let's speak to that. What happened in Canada when those truckers blocked everything? Right, they blockaded and they were all there. Remember, they had hundreds of truckers and they shut down parts of Canada going in, and everyone was supporting them. There was food and handed to them. What did Trudeau do? He arrested them all. Because they were is a threat to the government, and he locked their bank accounts and he threw them in jail. What happened to the January 6th? They threw people, even though half the country was getting burned by BLM and Antifa, the people that were January 6th got slammed into jail. No bail. No one bailed them out like the celebrities did for the other protesters. Solitary confinement, no contact with family or lawyers. Some of them are still there to this day. They're still on trial today. They locked their bank accounts. Once you can control the digital money, every resistance, they're waiting to get this. This is part of the news. So right now, Jane, you think it's real comfortable. They're getting that rope right around your neck, and once they get the digital control with FedNow and they wipe out cash, SoFi Field is cashless. A lot of businesses are going cashless, and the government will just say, we're doing a reissue. Our money's collapsed. That's why they're flooding the money, you know, like this, because it'll collapse. They'll go, oh, we have to save it. The new digital system is the answer. It will help you. And now they can lock you at any moment. All that $400,000,
well,
million, it means nothing.
Do an Article 5 convention of state and amend the Constitution that would circumvent that. People have the power in their hands.
No, not when they control the money. No. How about
it.
North Korea? Can you do that in North Korea?
That's why we don't live in Canada. That's why I don't live in California. That's why I don't live in North Korea.
Where do you live?
Not in those three places.
You live under the federal government, right? Federal government's sending troops right now to Texas.
No, we don't live under the federal government. We tell the federal government to go boo-boo.
Right. But what's the government doing right now? They're sending troops to Texas because Texas said, we're going to support, since you won't do anything about it, government, we're going to do it ourselves. We have our state rights, and they put up razor wire, right? And then people were getting stuck in it, and the government saying, you have to let those people, you have to go rescue those people. So they're sending federal troops, and other states are sending their National Guard. What do you think is going to happen? This is the beginning of
the... Well,
it's
going to be a big fight. The federal government is supposed to keep the people... Texas have a right to keep people out of their borders.
I agree. But you're going
to see
what
the federal government should do is keep them from going to the razor wire fence. Anybody that's stupid enough to go to a razor wire fence, I don't know what to say for. Why would you want somebody that's stupid in your country any damn way?
Right. Well, the government wants it because if they get enough illegals in there and then give them the right to vote,
why
which is what they're pushing for, they could vote out Abbott.
Why do you vote them in office?
Why what?
Why do you
vote
them in office?
Maybe Wade would like to comment, y'all.
Yeah, go ahead.
Well, yeah, sure, yeah, I'm listening. Well, I mean, I think both of you have have a point, yeah. So I am concerned about these things that John is bringing up, but also what Bianca is saying is yes. So we can't just get dragged down by the problems, but we have to fight these things.
We have to
make sure that we don't become North Korea. And of course, yes, it's hard. It's going to be hard, but we have to vote in the right people. We have to get the swamp drain. We have to fight it. You know, it's important to not become North Korea. A lot of people would like us to become North Korea, and we have to make sure they don't get their way. So, you know, I get worried, too, because there's a lot of evil, and these people, there's a lot of really smart evil people that have a lot of powerful tools at their disposal. But I'm also encouraged because there's a lot of smart people fighting for freedom and more of a shared economy type things and using the internet to decentralize and break down those power structures.
Well, that's why I'm mentioning this stuff now, and we do need to resist. But what I'm also saying, because I was tied into, not directly, but indirectly, I had friends in the peace movement and the Trump rally stuff in Beverly Hills. They had like 10,000 people coming out there, and BLM and Antifa were trying to riot over there and bust it up because the police say, oh, there's a riot here. You can't assemble anymore. You know, it's an unpeaceful assembly. So that was the strategy. 100 people would show up going whack. And it's like the other people, the Patriots, they're being peaceful. They're being cool. They're having a party. And these guys come marching down the street with bats and their black masks and all this their stuff, and they're squaring off with trying to start a fight, and the SWAT would show up, and they would face off with them. And even though they made BLM go, they would turn around to the Patriots and say, you know, you have to leave now. You know, 4 o'clock, you got to go. Well, we still got another 2 hours. We didn't do anything. Doesn't matter. You know, This is an unlawful assembly. It's been declared such because it's a liberal Beverly Hills Police Department. It's very liberal. But here's the point, is that the time we think that, like, oh, we'll just stand up and we'll rise. Those people don't get 10,000 people now. They're doing little Trump rally things out there, you know, a couple hundred people, because everyone knows January 6th. They know that they're being camera surveillance. They know that everyone who takes a social media picture, so you can go to Taylor Swift and do your little picture and you know, a billion people can follow it. And you can make money. You post your Trump rally thing. Every person, they will get your camera. They look at every email, every communication, and they'll go, oh, you're part of the insurrection people. So you go, well, we'll just vote. Well, last week, Hadleman, a computer forensic expert in the Georgia trial, he said, you can hack Dominion. Everyone's saying, oh, it's been debunked. He goes in front of the judge and he hacks the Dominion machine with a pen right in front of the judge. And he says, oh, I have all this evidence in how to do it. I put it July of 2023 in another federal case. The judge sealed the record and sat on it. So all this time you have CNN and MSNBC, all these groups saying, oh, it's been debunked, and there's no way you can hack Dominion. It's a conspiracy. And this guy's going, no, I showed you all the information. Anyone could do it. Anyone who's connected to the system.
Well,
that's
why states should go to paper ballots.
Right. Because that's what they're going to do again. They'll just hack the machine. But the thing is, the media is controlled.
Paper,
so they have the military under Biden. They have the media.
People should volunteer to be poll watchers and all those associated things that's available.
Well, they did have them, though. They have them. All those people were told to leave or stay away. They couldn't look. Remember in Georgia, they said, oh, we have a flood in the water break, and everyone had to leave the building. And then when they came back, suddenly the machines are working different. You know, the tolls changed, and they wouldn't allow them. There's video of a Republican or right, you know, conservatives.
Well, I can't speak for Georgia.
Out, and the people were applauding the vote people.
For Georgia, but they should have paper ballots. The ballots are counted for cash and reported on the night of.
That's what they're pushing for. So the conservatives are resistance. Yeah. But the point is, they did it already. Go ahead,
Jay. One thing that I don't think. The only thing that I disagree with in the last 20 minutes is if people are crossing the border with barely the clothes on their back, their first goal is housing, medical care, and a job. They're not thinking about voting, and they're not going to be bought out by one party. I knew tons of Mexicans in L.A. who were Republicans.
The point is they're going to say that Trump – she's trying to keep you out, and Biden will give you what, free health care? They've just said, oh, yeah, we're going to give you free health care. Newsom, Democrats, that's the policy. Oh, and if you want a trans, we'll even pay for it. You don't think the majority of those people are going to vote for it?
Minnesota, a lot of legislators overturned people's ability to change sexes. Minnesota does not pay for sexual reassignment now.
But they don't
the
come across the border in Minnesota. It's California and Texas. That's the battleground.
I'm not sure what states pay for it, but I know there's not many. Most of them have
I don't think they pay for it. But I'm saying they're changing the rules for it.
Okay, I'll try to look it up while you're talking. But I was thinking that a lot of the co-hosts are set in their ways, and how are we ever going to even change each other's minds?
Yeah, we've got a bit of an older crowd in this, yeah.
I'm
older crowd, too.
I really don't care because my job is just to share, you know, Christ is coming back. We need love and forgiveness. That's your only hope. Everything else, you're going to be fighting and dividing and yelling and arguing at each other and, you know, whatever. It's like until the knee bows to God's will and, you know, whatever your God is, that's where it happens. And until then, we're just going to fight and kill each other. So it's I don't see the energy wasted in that. I'm looking at world tour, go out and share God's love and forgiveness. And, you know, that's my opinion. And I don't really, you know, that's been an age-old thing. So, you know, like
well, life is
it,
more interesting. Life's more interesting if you try to make it better.
What about school choice?
Can
I just say one thing before we you guys start that? Can I say one thing? I'm not privy to a major political party anymore. I'm going to vote who I want to vote for, even if they don't have a Chinaman's chance. Was that racist?
Let me ask you a question. On your voter registration, when it came down to ethnicity, demographics, what did you check?
I tell you what I did. I remember you bringing this up. I picked. I'm a honky. I picked white.
Well, that's what you. That's what you. You should have picked other. I changed mine from black to other. That way, they don't use that data to come up with these unconstitutional voting districts.
Yeah, I'm gonna start doing that, Pianke. I'm gonna identify as other now. I agree.
I'm gonna I registered a long time ago, and I'd have to redo it. But Wade, go ahead with your current topic that you want to discuss.
Yeah, you guys want to? Okay, so I got a new work recently, and it's based on a program they're pushing in Arizona that they've gone full school choice. It's fantastic, in my opinion, and I guess a lot of other parts of the country are doing it too. I have first heard about this, where not only are they, it's not just vouchers where they'll put the money toward the school of your choice, but they'll let the parents decide how, they'll reimburse the parents for educational expenses, and they'll take like half of the money that would have gone toward the private schools. So they're actually saving money, and they let the parents decide how that money is going to be spent. And the thing is that people say, well, you know, they're not going to know what to, well, okay, a lot of them will make mistakes, fine, but you know, we have to, freedom means people get to make mistakes, and with those mistakes people, but some people do really good things and come up with new ideas and move the world forward, and that's how we have to do it. We can't hold, not have freedom because, oh no, people are going to do it wrong. Well, so yeah, they will, but let's go and have freedom anyway, because it's worth it to discover great ways of doing things. This program is so great because, okay, so it half the money is going toward the kid that it would have in the public school. But because you are cutting out all of that bureaucracy, there is plenty of money. A parent can hire, which is the case, that's how what's happened with me. They can hire a private teacher for their kids. So I got hired directly through a parent, and I'm going to look for more jobs doing that. And you just cut out the whole middleman. They learn in their home. They don't need to spend as much time on schooling because they are getting concentrated attention. Because in a normal public school, you get like an hour of teacher's attention. Each student gets like an hour of teacher's attention a week. That's the average. But if you're getting like even a couple hours a week, you're getting more than double what they get in public school. So these kids can spend like 2 hours a day, and they can still get better education. Plus, this money can go toward them getting other opportunities. It can go toward so poor people. So Don was concerned about minorities. It's like, well, I'll just say the poor people in general. That's the concern, I think, not what race people are, but their economic condition. People who are less economically fortunate, they can now afford these after school academies and things. They can afford private lessons and things because this money. So you can hire a teacher and put some of the money toward these lessons. And just like, you know, I don't know if you've heard of like high intensity workout, which I feel like that's what you do, is you get the academics, you get the students a more efficient, concentrated learning of the academics, and then they don't need as much time on it. So I see the only people losing out in this are the bureaucrats in the middle that just get paid for having some office desk job. So, yeah, thoughts? And we get to innovate. So as the as a private teacher, so now there's so many ways I can try new ideas, new things. I can look for the best ways that kids are educated in the best in the parts of the world. I could base the standards on what the mathematics standards are in Japan. You know, I can give them the best. I can teach them how they count on their fingers in India. You know, I can find the best things all around the world and bring that into the classroom. All right. Anybody's thoughts?
That's great.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter if a family is a $40,000 a year family or a family that's $1 million a year family. If their child is, if they're paying for public school, then their child should be afforded school choice where the money follows the child.
Yep.
Spirit.
Yep. 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 Absolutely.
So wait, I had to go to the bathroom.
Yeah.
Did you say that some kids can learn in their own home and pick their educators?
Yeah. So the parent. So okay. So I'll just summarize the version. So they give the give the parent access to decide how their child's education money is spent. And it's only like half the money that would go toward the public school. But because so much bureaucracy is taken out, that the parent can choose to hire a private teacher to come to their home and give lessons. They can also use that money for special things like learning an instrument, taking martial arts or dance classes or sports or whatever that kid wants to specialize in. That money can go toward that as well.
Okay.
That sounds like a great idea, but it's problematic because you think of this. Okay, how many people are artists? You know, one out of what? You know, 10 or 3, right? Or musicians. How many are good math teachers? How many are good English teachers? How many are good history teachers? You know, when a kid homeschools, a parent needs to be they may follow a curriculum, but they still need to be able to communicate and educate that child in 5 to, you know, 10 disciplines. And a lot of people aren't good at that, or they're not good teachers, even if they know this stuff. And so half those kids, they're going to flunk out. They're not going to, some of them, hands-on, yeah, you've got a mom that's not working or a dad who is very smart or response-wise, and that kid will do well. But the majority of parents, they barely can get home from work after they're getting a burger to think about raising their kids. And my pastor, he's LAUSD teacher in the Valley. You know, so he's not I mean, it's like the poor side of LA. And the point is he teaches seventh grade math. And the kids are at second and third grade level, almost all of them. You know, and it's not just California. Go to LeBron James School, right, in Ohio, right, Cleveland or whatever. No one has passed the eighth grade proficiency class, even though the motto of the school is I promise, like they literally, I promise I will do well, I promise I will learn my subjects, you know, the parents and the kids, and none of them, not one, has passed the state
proficiency
class.
That's what the whole thing is about. A child that's coming from a functional family should not be kept in those type of environments. I provided math tutoring for my grandson online for $25 a month, 2 days a week, about 2 hours a day. $25 a month, a live person worked with him. So, no, the resources are there. Parents just need to be able to take advantage of them. Another thing, there are schools that's particularly for a certain thing. You got aviation grade school. You got emergency medical technician grade schools.
Mm-hmm.
You got marine biology grade schools. That's for a choice. You even got baseball choice schools down in Florida and a basketball choice school in New York. So parents should have the right to put their child where they think is best suit for their long-term
Absolutely.
Educational goals.
If I may, too, I think I addressed a lot of the things, but I did speak in a big chunk, so there's probably a lot of details I said that were missed, but let me reiterate some points that I think addresses your concerns, John, and I appreciate that I'm glad someone is bringing up these things that people will bring up. These are the arguments, for sure. So what I pointed out was that the parent doesn't have to be the educator. They can hire someone. And that's my job. That's what I'm doing now, is they hire me to come in and teach the kids. And also, as I point out, like, yes, people are going to do it badly. But I think, see, that's the thing is, like, you know, do we believe in having freedom versus not having freedom? You know, freedom doesn't mean nobody ever does anything badly or makes mistakes or, yeah, tons of businesses fail. The private sector fails all the time. But the point is, I think it's worth it. We need to allow for these failures, because in order to allow for the innovation to come out. Because some people need to figure something out, figure out really good ways of doing that. And what is that?
Right. Now I would counterpoint that schools in America were always based on Christian values. Kids learned to read so that way they could read the Bible. The Bible was one of the two curriculum. They had the Bible, and then they would have the alphabet. Like, learn the alphabet, read the Bible. That's how they learned to read. So what did it give them? Foundation. It gave them a base of morality, of respecting elders, of having, you know, like, don't steal, don't kill, don't lie, don't commit adultery. Just concepts to live by that force discipline, that force you to – that God – I'm accountable to God. So now I'm not just on my own doing my own thing. It's like, oh, you know, there's a big boogeyman that will clamp down on me. And here's the point is that you take that – they took that out of schools. So now would you have Joe Biden – would you trust Joe Biden to mentor your kids? He's a president of the United States, the most powerful person on the planet, or at least figuratively. And you look at half the people that run our government – they're idiots. They're morons. They're stupid, right? The border. Oh, print more money. Let's print trillions of dollars to help you. It's like, no, they're idiots. They don't know how to run the planet, and the morality is skewed. Half the people I'm speaking in our construct, the educational system. If you take kids homeschool, my uncle. He homeschooled his kids. You know, they're ready for college at 13, right? 14. They're brilliant. But I'm just saying that he's high IQ. The majority of kids in the construct, you send them home, like with COVID, they did terrible. They're like two or three grades behind. And it doesn't work in practicality because there's no moral base, no spiritual base. There's no community. There's no church base. So that's my input. You know, I like the freedom, though. I love the freedom. I just don't think it's going to work with our actual base as it exists right now.
I don't think you're seeing the freedom aspect completely, because you're coming from a point of view of like I'm trying to. You're seeing that it's all about just getting kids homeschooled. It's about know them. It's not about just having everybody homeschooled. It's about having choice. And choice to, of course, make bad choices, but also
I agree with Wade.
I agree with Wade because
since COVID, the kids are not focused in the regular classroom. So they might as well take something they like, and maybe that will complement the other subjects they don't like. Because eventually, if they want to go to college, they're going to have to take the ACTs anyway if they want to go to college.
I support the freedom. I totally get what Wade's saying. And you know, I'm all for free speech. Like, don't censor people. Don't block them. Let them say what.
Sure.
That's not the point. I agree with you, but I'm saying that's not the solution when there's no spiritual base. Because freedom, as you know, do whatever you want. You know what people do? They kill. They Sodom and Gomorrah, right? Sexually promiscuous. Look at the kids rioting and when we had the George Floyd or the BLM Antifa, right? There's no constraint. They have tons of freedom, and we have a constitution. We have laws. They disregard it. It goes runaway. So
well,
I'm just saying it's great. I'm just saying it's not the cure is spiritual. That's what I'm saying.
What Christians should do is form schools and teach morality to those that was out there right.
That's how it all the universities were Christian, and the secular government.
If you want to send your kids to a Christian school, go ahead. I would applaud that.
Yeah,
they were
yeah.
all every university was 120 of them were Christian to begin with, and what happened? The secular government came in and said separation of church and state, and they took it away. And then people were like, "God is dead."
Well,
so we, right? Is that
the
not history?
Never did say they never did say separation of church and state. The Constitution said you can't have a state-sponsored church. That's what it said. But if you
right.
want to have
but
your children go through those type of rigors, that's perfectly fine. That's what choice
well,
is all about.
But the point is, Madeline yeah. Murray O'Hare came into the schools. I know because I never learned Lincoln's proclamation of Thanksgiving because it mentions acknowledging providence and humbling ourselves, repenting, and getting God's blessing. I never heard it. You know, because I was when I went to school, it was like in the 60s. In 63, in 64, Madeline Murray O'Hare went a communist, a card-carrying communist, an atheist. She got her one little kid, who later became a Christian, but took it into court, and with their lawyer, got it knocked out of the schools. So when you're saying, oh, you can do this or that, no, you can't. The schools were stopped. We had a Christian concert on school, and the principal came in and stopped the whole thing, and, this will never happen
well,
again.
Well, because
we
you let the
Christian
principal
club.
Do
we
it.
Couldn't read. We couldn't assemble in the church, in the school. We had to go after
but
hours off campus.
You have three F's. You got freedom, you got fundamental federalism and fundamentalism. You have the fundamental right of your child. Take them out of those situations. Get rid of the board. Get rid of the principal. That has happened too, by the way. That's what's supposed to happen. You got to do more than get on your knees and pray. Get up and do something.
The point is, I don't have a kid in school, and I'm doing others. I see the Californian try that. You get beat down. After a while, you just quit because
in,
it doesn't work.
For the second time, that's why I don't live in California.
I know.
All right,
but
so
in Congress, they have a weekly Bible study, and one of the chaplains there said a senator only missed one day out of 21 years.
Hmm. Let me put it this way.
So they have a Bible study right in the congressional halls.
Sure. So let me put it this way. So sure, your ideal would be Christian, like classical Christian schools based on Christian values, right? But that's not what the public schools are right now, right? So is
right.
having more school choice, is it going in the right direction or the wrong direction? Are we better with keeping the kids in the public schools that aren't Christian, or are we better having the parents? And remember, choice doesn't mean they have to be homeschooled. Choice means they get to choose. So I'm not saying it's all, I think homeschooling is a great way, decentralize, get a private teacher, but get a good private teacher. But I'm not saying that, but I'm saying ultimately my main point is the value of them having a choice. And free market, and some may be better in schools. So is it better going this way or going in the other direction where more public schooling?
It's a great thing. It's a very wonderful thing.
Okay,
I think the concept though is that we have to change. Well, society, basically, spirituality is lost. So you can put a Band-Aid on it. I just don't think that's going to address the higher issue when the majority of kids are being raised to be, Luciferian. I'm not saying satanic, Luciferian. The concepts are all Luciferian. If we study the underlying concept, it's do as thou wilt and don't account to God and submit to the higher levels of Luciferianism. These people do the symbolism. And you can just watch the people in charge. Just watch them do it. Look at our
money.
Who's going to
stop them? John, who's in charge of changing people? Either the parents or the sinners themselves. We're not in charge. They have to come to they can come to the Lord.
Well, we had good leadership through the years. Shepherds, right? People are sheep. Because I've thought about this. Let's start a revolution. People are sheep. So you have to have strong leaders. And when they stand up, they have to be able to go to prison or to get shot down. How do we get our freedom? we grabbed some guns, we got some patriots together. You know, they met in, you know, bars and clubs and talked, and they said, let's start a revolution. So what we're looking at is a spiritual revolution needs to happen, and not using guns, but, you know, guitars of love, or, you know, the Bible, or whatever. But the point is, you have to have a spiritual revolution. That's what Jesus did. He overthrew the, you know, Roman Empire. You know, Roman Empire is gone, but Christianity still rolls. So, but the point is, you're gonna have to have good leaders. You know, and the small states have some, like a Josh Hawley kind of person. You know, you could go on both sides, but, you know, like a Jim Jordan type of person. You wouldn't like Ted Cruz, but, you know, he's basically fundamental. But the point is, that with those leaders doing what they do, the sheep follow. You know, they conform. So you're going to have to get the leadership out.
Sure.
Vote
okay,
out,
so
right?
Now that I understand your point more clearly, I think it's – yeah, so I'm not suggesting that this change is going to just bring – is just going to all of a sudden make the world a utopia. Yes, I agree. We need spiritual awakening. The point is, I'm just saying it's a step in the right direction. So freedom is not in and of itself, just freedom doesn't make paradise, right? Freedom gives us the freedom to build paradise. It gives us the freedom to make better choices and make the world better. But what we do with the freedom is important. We could take freedom and make things horrible too, right?
Yeah.
So, I'm not – that's what I'm saying, is that it's just – it's a move in the right – I think it's more than a band-aid, but I think it's a move in the right direction.
Right. Do you like what our – how many in the group here – what do we think of RFK Jr.? Like how do you feel he stands in the whole position, say, versus a Biden or as even just as a leader, you know, as a president?
I'd like to say something first, even though it might not be relevant. His first wife committed suicide. The wife he was married to before, the one he's married to now.
Well,
I was wondering if anybody knows that.
So we're not talking Ted Kennedy. You're talking Robert Kennedy Jr., right?
Yeah, Kay Jr.'s first wife killed herself. I just spent a whole week on presidents with a... I'm just saying that nobody really brings it up. I'm not saying it's relevant. I'm just saying.
No, it's good. It's good. In fact, the question is, like, was she a drug addict or did he beat her?
She hung herself and she had depression and she fought drug and alcohol problems her whole life. Her name was Mary Richardson Kennedy. And she killed herself at age 52.
It may be a lot why he's against, you know, the big pharma and that kind of thing, too.
Yeah, I'm not saying – I'm not cutting her down or saying that she's – like, you know how that new quote is for people who are suicidal, you are enough? Like, it's sad.
Yeah.
Strangely enough, she looks like a Kennedy, even though she wasn't a biological Kennedy. She married a Kennedy. She has that same kind of look, you know, with the freckles and Irish face. But anyways, it was sad. But let me just skip over that. I don't think his voice is effective. He has a weird voice and he has a medical condition. And it definitely causes a lot of problems when he's trying to communicate with people. So that I like him as a person, but that in himself is going to hold him back.
Well, I thought that way in the beginning, you know, because let me talk a little bit about this. You know, it's scratchy. It's unpleasant. But then, you know, he doesn't go away. If he'd gone away, I'd just say, oh, you know, just freak. Because he starts talking about, you know, the drug companies, and they're killing our kids, you know, the big pharma. That's why you start, like, he's real, right, in that sense. And I'm not a Kennedy, you know, pro thing. I'm not a liberal pro thing. But the point is, he's real. He's not putting, you know, he's not trying to change his voice or alter it. He's just, this is what he is. He's real. So it's like, after a while, I kind of like that. I kind of get used to his voice, you know. It's like, it's a weird annoyance. I actually enjoy it because I enjoy his content. and as compared to who can understand what Joe's trying to say anyway, right? But on as far as his political stances, his platform, what do you think, Jane?
I would vote for him, but right now I'm focused on Dean Phillips from Minnesota, who ran against Biden in New Hampshire. So I kind of dipped off the radar of RFK Jr. But I remember 20 years ago he was a champion of environmental cleanness, and he was featured on Time magazine. I think you should ask someone else, though, because I only know his general policies.
Well, how about in order of 1, 2, 3 for voting? Just the
I would
rest
vote
of the panel.
For him.
One, two,
I would
three.
Vote for him over. I would vote for him over the main two candidates right now. I'll tell you that much.
I would go Trump, Ramaswamy, but he can't be president. But unless Trump dies, RFK, then Biden. You know, Nikki Haley, she's just so scary. She flipped on every position just to she took a job at Lockheed and Boeing, big money because she was broke, so she got money from that. She's endorsed by the Koch brothers and the by BlackRock, Vanguard, and State Street. They're bankrolling. And here's the deal, because they know they can't get rid of the 800-pound orange gorilla. So the deal is maybe the system will knock him out or put him in prison, or he'll have a heart attack or an injection or a bullet. And the point is, who's next? I mean, because he's still in charge. He's the guy. They know that. But if he drops, then it's Nikki Haley. So she's still hanging. She's probably gonna, they're going to float her as long as they can until they get to some of these trials. And Joe, on the other hand, from what I'm hearing, Obama is polling people to see if they'll vote for Michelle, even though she said, I won't. It's like save the country. She's on the magazines now all over the place. You know, like just go to the store and you'll see every other magazine. It's Michelle or Taylor Swift. In fact, if Taylor Swift could run for president, she probably would win it. But the point is look in around June or July for Joe to, before the convention, get down just to go, my health or, I'm not popular on my party. We need to change it up. That's what I'm hearing.
Well, here's the thing.
I have to go soon.
I'm leaving
and I can talk
about.
Let me get this out.
Yeah.
You put those two people up there, those two women, goes to show you just how ignorant American population is. They are actually really ignorant. What is the value of voting for a president if you're going by popularity and whatever else you want to call it? Man,
right.
We got to do better than this. I'll see you guys. Thank you.
I'm sorry, Pianke. The only thing I was going to say is RFK, he asked me to look up his platform, John, so I'm going to mention some. He wants to raise minimum wage. He wants to expand free child care. He wants to drop housing costs by $1,000 per family and make home ownership affordable. He wants to cut energy prices by restricting natural gas exports, et cetera, et cetera. It sounds like a Democratic agenda.
Right. But he's also anti-Big Pharma, and he's also anti-military machine.
Bianchi dropped.
He didn't give us his three choices.
Well, my choice is that I have a sore throat and I want to go back to bed, so I'm going to let Wade do his conclusion.
Wow.
Okay.
Well,
I'll just give my three choices.
Yeah,
I'll do my three choices. That'll be my conclusion. I would go in order. I'd go Ramaswamy, then Trump, then Haley, then RFK, and then Biden, I think. RFK he's not far left like Biden, but still, I want someone to drain that swamp. I don't know if RK would do it. I want that swamp drained, and I want it salted. I want it dry. No more swamp, please.
Oh, wow.
So. Yep, that's my position. So, all right, that's it.
Okay,
that's not
John,
bad.
I'll give you my I'll give you my three choices. First, I would like a dark horse like Paul Wellstone to run, who is not tied with any of the major party corruption. Like, I'll just say Dean Phillips for now because he actually is running. Mm-hmm. I'd even like a breath of fresh air on the Republican side. I really don't think Nikki Haley has that much charisma and how she got this far. And another thing I noticed is she only served 1 year as a U.S. ambassador. So I was wondering if anybody knew if Trump fired her. So why did she only serve 1 year as a U.S. ambassador when she was appointed?
Yeah, I think he didn't fire her. I think he kind of pushed her a little bit out. But the thing is, Nikki will say and do anything they want. Like, she just will flip on any position. Just look up any of her positions. She will flip. It's so, like, here's a Benjamin. Okay. You know, she always goes with, I never said da-da-da, and then they pull her quote right off a video. She's hilarious.
I did like someone like Ramaswamy because I felt like he didn't buy into anybody, and he was just his own person. So somebody like that, Dean Phillips, RFK Jr., Ramaswamy. But I really don't want the two major old bucks in either party running, and so that would be my desire, is to get both of them out of there.
Well, do you
and
think
I'm kind of sick of having geriatrics.
Do you think
like
both
I just
of them
watched
will make
the
it
end
to the
of the Well, I just watched the end of The Crown, season 6, last episode, and Queen Elizabeth held her composure from 1953 till 2022 until she died, and I'd like to see someone like that.
Right, the royals ruling the world for the common. So you're a commoner. You like bowing your knee to that.
Yeah, I feel like they have more stability with the royal family, but there's been plenty of controversy with Charles and Camilla and Diana dying and Harry, so they got their own set of problems.
Slavery is very stable. You know who your master is, right?
I would like to be Prince William's female slave. Now, John, why don't you say your last few words?
Dear baby Jesus, I pray you bless this meal I'm about to partake and save us from ourselves. Bless my black brothers and sisters, whoever they may be. I pray for Pianki that he will be part of the awakening, the great awakening, the spiritual awakening. And I pray we all will play our part, and that we will make our stand in the army of the Lord. And I thank you for all these wonderful friends. And even though I'm always right, I forgive them, Lord, for disagreeing with me. But no, I just pray that we have peace on this earth, that the kingdom of God.
By the way, I read four Bible verses, and Pianki didn't hang up. So
wow,
he wasn't. He wasn't mean tonight.
Well, yeah,
and Wade was on the line.
I'm surprised he hung up
Taylor
Swift and Michelle Obama.
He's on
Obama,
five shows a week.
Yeah, but he had a chance to blow his horn about who he wanted for president and why, and he just blew it. I mean, that was like the punchline. Like, this is what it's all about, right? We're heading to the big election, and he just jumped right off the boat. Like, I threw Taylor Swift in as a joke, but the point is she did influence millions. How many Swifties? You know, she has like 300 million and some fans over the world. She goes, you know, 10,000. You can imagine across the country, she probably has 2 or 3 million voters that follow whatever she says as gospel. I mean, they'll do whatever she says. And you don't think a million or two is significant in an election? It's very, you know, significant.
Everything fades with time. Everything fades with time. She's relevant now. In 5 years, she won't be. But I think Wade probably had a busy day, too. Yeah, we got to go. Bye-bye, everybody. I'll play this song.
God bless you. And the thing about it, though, in 5 years, we may not have a country. Think about that.
I want to thank you, Lord. I want to thank you, Lord.
Thank you.